Father, I thank you that we can come before you through the work of Christ alone. Lord, you know everything that is going on in our hearts. You know those who are broken and need to be encouraged and healed. You know those who are proud and need to be broken. You know everything that is going on, Lord, and I pray that we would press in close to you today. I pray that as we look into your word, you would show us things we may never have noticed before, and that you would draw us very close to yourself. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a few years ago, technology let me down big time. I was on a trip with my parents. I was driving back. And, you know, I love my parents. I'm grateful for them. But by their own admission, neither of them would say we're technological wizards. So I had my cell phone with my map application on it. And I said, all right, I got this. We were about a half hour, 45 minutes away from home, and I said, look, I'm going to discover a new shortcut. Let's go. Well, do you know where you're going, Mark? No, but, you know, I've got my map app. We're fine. Just watch this. This is incredible. You ought to think about getting one of these smartphones. You know, it makes you smarter. And so we're driving along, and I'm following its instructions as I should, and what I thought was going to be a five-minute shortcut ended up being about a half hour long cut because there were roads that were being built where we were driving that didn't yet show up on the map. There were some realignments that didn't show up on the map. It was outdated. I had bad information on my map app. And because I had bad information on a map app, what I thought was going to be a shortcut led me into multiple dead ends. Now, just to set the record straight here, I did not have to turn in my man card and ask directions from anybody, okay? We muddled around. I probably could have been out of there in 10 minutes, but took a half hour or so, but we made it out safe and sound. But the bottom line is this: false information led me into a dead end. And you know, it's no different in life. Bad information gets us into trouble. Last week, we looked at it as the whole concept of fake news that's out there. You know, what is real anymore? You just can't know. You get these different perspectives, these things that are said. It's like, what's real? What's true? What's fake? It's hard to keep up with it all. And fake news is all about us in life. And God knows that, and he's given us his word so we can discern what is fake and what is real. We're going through the book of 2 Peter very quickly. Last week, we looked at chapter 1. This week, we'll look primarily in chapter 2. And 2 Peter is from the Apostle Paul, Peter, not Paul, obviously. It's written by Peter. And he was one of the closest associates of Jesus. He spent 3 years with him, probably closer than anyone else. It's now about 35 years after Jesus has risen from the dead and ascended to heaven. Peter is an old man at this time, but the church has been expanding rapidly. But the Roman Empire is pushing back against the church, and Peter is now imprisoned, and he knows he faces death. And so he pens this letter saying, guys, listen up. This is really important. This matters. If you have bad information in life, if you have bad information about God, you're going to be in trouble. So you need to be able to know what's fake news and what's real. The way this book is set up, this letter that Peter is writing to warn us about the fake news and the false teachers, three very important things bubble out of it. You need to know what you have, you need to know what you're up against, and you need to know what you're living for. Last week, we talked about knowing what we have. Because the good news is far better than the fake news that's out there. But the fake news entices us. The fake news has hooks in it. And we say, oh, I kind of want to follow that. But when you stop and think about it, the good news, the truth, is far better than anything that we could ever make up. So it's important that we know what we have. And last week we looked at a couple things about knowing what we have. First of all, God says you have everything you need for life and godliness. You have it all in Jesus. That's good news. And then chapter 1 continues on to say, you know, we didn't follow fake stories. We didn't follow these cleverly devised myths and legends. But God spoke to people and told them what to pass on to us. That is what we have. It's not only good, but it's true. You can stand on it. So you have to know what you have. But then once you know what you have, you got to say, well, what am I up against? What's going on? Fake news overloads us with misinformation and robs us of the good that God has for us. So who's peddling this fake news? And how do they do their job? That's what 2 Peter chapter 2 is going to tell us. You can open your Bible, 2 Peter. It's like the fifth or sixth to the last book of the Bible. It's a small one, so if you're flipping through it, you could blow right through it. It's only three chapters. I'd encourage you, just as I did last week, read the book each week while we're going through it. You can read through it in about 20 minutes. Just be familiar with what God is telling us. But 2 Peter chapter 2 starts out like this in verse 1. But false prophets also rose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And then the chapter goes on, and it uses some pretty shocking terms to describe what these false teachers are like. And these are just a sampling of some of the words that are used in there for these false teachers. Now, these false teachers are really the enemy within. At the time, the enemy without was the Roman Empire that was seeking to persecute the church and tamp it down and squash it so it didn't spread, so that everyone would still see that Caesar rules. But Jesus is Lord, trumps Caesar rules, and the church marches on. But then inside, there was poison in the pews. False teachers taking half-truths or even misunderstandings and spreading them. You know, we've all played that telephone game when we were kids in parties, or maybe you've had a party with your children, you played it, and you pass information along the line, and by the time it makes it around the circle, it's like, are we even talking about the same thing? It's important we be grounded in the truth. These false teachers went out from among us. Poison in the pews. And the things that they say and the things that they do are written in real visceral terms in this chapter. They're secretive. They're sensual. They're greedy. They're lustful. They're adulterous. They exploit people. They're corrupt. They're deceptive. They're blasphemers. All this list of rotten things. And most good church people say, I would never listen to anyone like that. Oh, yes, you would. And here is why. Because in this chapter, all the things that are written about these false teachers deal with this. They are driven by the flesh. They are flesh driven. That is the essence of false teachers and false teachings that lead us away from Christ. Now, again, when we think of flesh, we may think of it in terms like that you've seen up there, all those horrible, awful things. But the flesh is our natural humanity. It's who we're born as. The trouble with flesh is it has a natural tendency to lean away from God, to say, I want to do my own thing. And this flesh that we have in us is pretty smart. Because we know that if we want to be in church circles, well, I have to look respectful, so, you know, I can't do any of those things that those false teachers do. But flesh is us just saying, I want to do my own thing. I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. It's really all about me. And then when you go through 2 Peter chapter 2 again, it hits us. That's me. I may look respectable on the outside, but on the inside, I'm leaning away from God. Flesh is like a tractor beam. Remember that in Star Wars, just pulling them into the Death Star? Our flesh pulls us away from God. And it's very easy to entice. And that's what Peter, who is about to die for his faith, is saying, hey guys, watch out. This way looks really cool, but it'll end in death. Follow Christ. These false teachers, you've got to be able to discern them. And in the chapter, it goes through and it tells us a few things about how they work. These flesh-driven teachers and these ideas that are so enticing to us. Listen to how these fake news reporters work. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words or stories. It's post-truth. We talked about that last week. They can weave these stories that, oh, it just sounds good. It feels so right. Well, I've got to do it. It just feels good. They can be great storytellers. They will suck you in. And as long as you ignore the actual content that they're passing on, sounds great. The chapter goes on. Verse 10. Second part of verse 10. It says they are bold and willful. They do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. False teachers are bold. They're going to get up. And they're going to say what they're going to say, and they're going to speak it, and they're going to sound good, and they're going to look good when they say it. And you say, they look pretty authoritative. I may as well follow them. These false teachers sounded like they knew what they were talking about. You know, we often say when you're in a life group or in a Sunday school class, and you know, you have to read some of these Old Testament sections of Scripture, and there's names which you go, I've never heard of that name before. How do you pronounce it? Well, the rule of thumb is you just say it loud and confidently, and everyone else in the room will say, oh, I was wondering, that must be how you pronounce it. Well, false teachers just sound real confident in what they're going to say. And you focus on the person rather than the message, and you miss out. Verse 14, false teachers, they have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. Accursed children. They prey on the vulnerable. They look for unsteady souls. And an unsteady soul is someone that is just not maturing. In the book of Ephesians, it talks about immature Christians are those who are tossed about on every wave by all kinds of different funky teaching. False teachers, because they have a financial vested interest in getting you behind them, will look for people that are vulnerable, and they'll exploit it. It's in their character. It's bad. Then in verse 18, for speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. The things that they're talking about, the things that they say they can give you freedom from, they're actually enslaved to. Because here's the deal. As human beings, we will follow someone or something. Our natural default mode is to follow our flesh. And flesh is like following a GPS with bad programming. It will always run you into a dead end. It may sound cool in the beginning, but it'll run you into a dead end. Or we can say, no, I'm not going to submit to my flesh. I'm going to submit to the Lord of the universe, who is the one true God, who loves me more than I can imagine, and who is greater than I can imagine. We have a choice who you will follow. So when you think of false teachers and false teachings, let's lay this out a little bit. From these verses that we've seen, the false teachers, they exploit your feelings. And they're very subjective. They can sound flowery. They can sound great. But it's all fluff. They're unaccountable. If you challenge their teaching, they get all bent out of shape with you. You know, the mark of a teacher who is humble before God is if they say something that's false and someone says, hey, you know what, this is what I see in the Bible, a good teacher will say, look, I want to be under what God says. Fake teachers, fake news reporters, false prophets, whatever you want to call them, are self-serving. It's all about building their own platform, building their own empire. And then they will give you empty promises. Promises which deep down they know they can never fulfill. Now, these are all character traits of false teachers. True teachers, just flipping the opposite. True teaching has solid objective truth behind it. True teaching transforms the mind, the way we think, not just the way we feel. Changes the way we think. You know, Scripture says that we are to have our mind transformed by the Word of God. Because when we have the Word of God filtering everything that comes across us in life, then we'll stand. True teachers are humble. They're under the authority of the God who gave us the Bible. A true teacher will be sacrificial, not self-serving. And then a true teacher has teaching which can point to fulfilled promises, real hope. False teachers can't give you any of that. So what are some examples of false teaching, fake news that's out there in church world? There are many things that are out there to trip us up. You know, the song that we sang earlier today, How He Loves, is a great example of true news. That song was written by a man who lost a dear friend in a car wreck. A friend who was young. A friend who loved the Lord, who was doing good work for the Lord. And so this guy is thinking, God, how could you allow this to happen? Give me a quick answer. I don't get it. But to his credit, the man who wrote the song said, you know, in the end, I'm not going to figure it out. But God, I'm going to press into you. And no matter what happens in this world, this is the truth. You love me more than I can imagine. The truth is, you love me. And you have good things in the big picture. That's what I'll cling to. There's a whole brand of teaching out there called the prosperity gospel. You've seen it, I'm sure, on weird, subscription channels in your TVs. And someone says, hey, if you give me this much money, then I'm going to send you a handkerchief, or I'm going to send you a bottle of my sweat or whatever. And then if you sleep with that under your pillow, you're going to get better. And you know, the sad thing is, it works. Do any of you have enough money to buy airtime on a TV show? I don't. But these guys do. So obviously, people are giving them money. And they're getting their shows. And they're making all kinds of outrageous promises. And a lot of people give them money and say, okay, I'm going to get better. But they don't. And the false teacher just moves on, seducing more people. Prosperity gospel. It's bad because it promises quick fixes and it never delivers. The prosperity gospel makes us think that our best life is now. But to anyone who knows Jesus Christ as Savior, this is not our best life. Our best life is in the world yet to come. We are living this life as a practice run for the rest of eternity. That's the perspective we need to have. This world that we live in is broken. Yes, a lot of good things happen and we should cherish them, we should enjoy them. But this is not the end that we're living for. We're living for something far bigger and far better. And the prosperity gospel undercuts that. It says you can have it all now. But friends, the reality is, you won't have it all now. This world is fallen. We are fallen. And God is redeeming it. And ultimately, one day, He's going to take this old world, and we're going to talk about this next week in chapter 3. He's going to crumple it up, throw it away, and make something all new that we can look forward to. No sin, no suffering, no sickness, no death. We live life here today in light of that. There's all kinds of things out there. We're in a market-driven society. Some of you may have seen or heard of the book The Shack. It's now out as a movie. I'm not taking a position for it or against it. My concern, though, with things like The Shack and then the next one that comes along and the one that comes along with it after that is that we will take something that a person has written that they have strong feelings about and say, oh, this must be the way it is. But the reality is, the God of the Bible is always better than any man-made attempt to describe him. The guy that wrote The Shack, and I've read the book, but I haven't seen the movie, went through some deep pain. And some of the things that he talks about, how he wrestles with God, and they're about, God, why this evil? That's going to hit you right here. And when you look at it as, well, this is an allegory of a guy working through his pain and suffering, that's fine. But just make sure that when you form your picture of who God is, that you do it through this book rather than any other bestseller, even if it's on the Christian charts. Because God, as he is revealed to us in Scripture, is better than anything you will see in a movie or anything you will read in a book. The problem with us as a Christian culture is that we so often want the next best thing. Oh, this book's a bestseller. Got to climb on the bandwagon and read it. But if we knew God as he is in here, that's good enough. He's awesome. And the more we read in Scripture, we don't do it just to store up Bible knowledge so we can impress other people. We do it so that our eyes are open to our God in all of his splendor. So when you go through suffering, am I saying don't read The Shack? No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is make sure that your primary source content is God's word. If you're suffering, read through the book of Job. Read through the Psalms. Let that form your picture of God. You know, there's a reason for the second commandment. And the second commandment is you will have no other images before you. God says, don't make an idol of me. And it's not because God doesn't like statues. It's not because God doesn't like artwork. He was speaking in terms to the people back then. Today, he'd probably say something like, don't try to show me in a movie because it'll fall short. The second commandment is there for a reason. Again, not because God is being nasty, but he's saying, nothing you do will come close to who I am. Get to know the truth. And when you know me in all my truth, it is going to drive you to your knees. And you'll say, my God, how great you are. There are probably story after story in this room of when we've gone through deep waters in life. And you've had to do just as the songwriter did of how he loves me, press into God. And then you're confronted with, wow. He really is incredible. You know, when I wasn't going through this suffering, when life was normal, everything was fine, I didn't need to know that. But now that I've had to press into God and I've seen that he is deeper than the deepest ocean I can imagine, I'm going to be all right. Truth matters. Fake news will take you into a dead end. False teaching is very often flesh-driven. It appeals to our fleshly senses, and we want to run along with it. And again, I'm not saying it is not attractive. I'm not saying there may not be some glimpses of truth in it. But we need the whole counsel of God and his word. So much of what is out there is like eating a fast food sandwich when God is saying, I'm steak. Fast food tastes really good until you have steak or whatever your favorite food is. We need to see that God is better than anything else that we could want. And Peter's message is, hey guys, I spent 3 years walking closely with the Master. I've served him for 30, 35 years faithfully after he ascended to heaven, and I'm now about to die for my faith. This is what really matters. You see, flesh never leads to fulfillment. It doesn't end well. And the fake news reporters have an end. In verse 3, the second half says this, their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Very often, God seems to delay his judgment for reasons we may not fully understand. We'll talk about this more next week. But fake news will run you into a dead end. False teaching will never help you in the long run. In the book of Proverbs, it says this in chapter 14, verse 12. There's a way which seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. We have to have the right GPS. We have to make sure that we are believing and following truth. The message of Jesus is so radically different from the false teachers that we've talked about. He said this in John chapter 10, verse 10. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus said, I am under my Father. I'm accountable. Jesus has kept every promise he has ever made, and we can be confident that he will deliver in the end. So the message that Peter wants everyone to understand, you wouldn't use a fake map for a journey. Likewise, don't base your life on false teaching. You can trust the Bible and the God who gave us the Bible for everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you have given us the written word, which tells us about you, the living word. Lord, I pray that we would be a people who run light the Bible. I pray to know you more and more through your word. And that, Lord, as we know you more and more, it's not just head knowledge. It doesn't puff up pride, but it drives us to our knees in seeing how great you are. And Lord, as we go into your word and see how great you are, you will give us confidence for anything that we face in life. And Lord, I recognize there will be things that we can't figure out, we don't understand, but we cling to who you are. And we know that even though we may not be able to figure it out, you already have, and we can trust you. Help us, Lord, to follow you, whatever life throws at us. In Jesus' name, amen.